It's time for Bites Behind the Media, making you smarter at home, on the go, and around the water cooler. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all actually travel, with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery or built-in front pocket, and they come in a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. Away has the perfect gift for everyone on your list, because this holiday season, everyone wants to get away. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS. Okay, Jimmy, let's start off with the breaking news, almost, sort of breaking news, and that is Kevin Hart. Are you a Kevin Hart fan, by the way?
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? Do you know who it is?
Yeah, I know who he is now, yeah, but I didn't.
What, now? Today?
I
Steven, you know who Kevin Hart is. Okay, good.
I told you I'm painfully unhip, but it's not something that I would
Met him, actually, in Hawaii at a hotel. By meeting him, he was there. He was talking on the phone. I heard the voice. He really does sound like that. And I turn around, and there he was. Little guy, you know, and nice and doing. He has been around for a long time, but has only become an A-lister in the last couple of years.
Right.
And A-list meant that now he could host the Oscars.
I guess so. At least, was a Billy Crystal fan.
Yeah, so was I. Okay. Yes, but Billy, why? That's like,
because it may have been the last time. No.
Oh, you mean a comedian hosted?
Yes.
Yeah, well, hosted something.
Hosted the Oscars.
Right.
For
was that the last time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, that's what he hosted.
No, I'm saying, is he the last comedian to host?
No.
I can't think of who it would be, because this is not my.
Yeah.
Steven?
I do watch the Oscars, though. I love movies.
Okay. Nothing Steven's saying, shaking his head. He doesn't have anything on that. Anyway, just a couple of days, it was the high point of his career. He had always apparently talked about wanting to do it. If he were asked, it would be the greatest moment of his life, and only the next day to back away from it. And why did he do that, Jimmy, you might ask?
Yes. Why did he do that, I ask, Dan?
Old social media postings have come back to haunt him. Isn't that something that happens all like every week?
Well, every politician has to go through it, and every athlete goes through it. Anybody in the public eye,
at some point,
should know that anything that you put out on a text or a tweet is forever.
Yes.
Even if you delete it,
somebody has already captured it.
That's right.
And it will come back to haunt you.
Yes.
I'm so glad that all that stuff was not around when I was young and stupid.
Right.
Because there'd be a lot of stupid stuff. You know,
I'm old and stupid now, and I don't use it. Okay. I just want to say.
I just say positive stuff.
Right.
But the thing is, you cannot, you know, we all change. I don't think that anyone should be held responsible for something that they haven't done in a long period of time. I think you acknowledge it, which apparently he has done in the past. You acknowledge it and you move on. You can't, you know, we all say stupid. It's like saying, you know what, you should have known better when you were a baby not to cry in church. No, you can't. You were young, and that's what you do at the time. There's a lot of stupid stuff that you do. I don't think you should be held responsible for it. But in this particular case, he made in 2009, and these are tweets between 2009 and 2011 that had derogatory language referring to gay people and disparaging remarks and comments about their sexuality, right? And in one particular case, he said the following, according to CNN.com, "Yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say in my voice, 'Stop, that's gay.'"
That's not a good thing to do.
It's violence, too.
Nine years ago, that was shocking.
That was shocking. But the thing is, this isn't the first time he's been confronted with these things, and he has talked about how, look, I've grown up, I've moved beyond it, blah, blah, blah.
You make mistakes to learn from the mistakes. Right. It sounds like he's learned from his mistakes.
He has.
Now it's cost him a gig on the Oscars.
Yes, and he's been, as you know, he came forward and had the whole issue with, I think, had an affair or something like that. But anyway,
in this
particular case, you know, gets the moment, that one day it's the, you know, he's at the peak of his life, and the next day he's brought down. Apparently, the Oscar folks came to him and said, look, just apologize and you can hang on to your job doing this. And he said he wasn't going to apologize, and he was backing away from it because he didn't want to be a distraction for the Oscars. So, you know, look, life is unfortunate, and I think it's another warning for anyone out there. If you got stuff in social media that's going to come back to get you, just don't become a big deal.
Right.
As long as you remain as a B-lister, nobody will come after you, usually.
I've always tried. It's something I strive for. I don't want people to know me. I don't want them to know what I'm doing. Just leave me alone.
Don't be an A-lister.
But by all means, subscribe, download, share it.
Yes.
Like us. Whatever.
Make the show as popular as better as you can.
Please.
So, yes.
But, you know, whatever.
But then, yeah, that moves you to A-list category, and your tweets will come back to haunt you. Yes. So beware. Okay.
I got this next
one. Go ahead.
Can I do the next one? This is Steven Spielberg.
No,
right?
Yeah, you do that one.
Is that all right?
No, Jimmy, it's not all right.
Okay, thanks. Because I know you did the work on this.
No, go ahead. No, but I just pointed it out so that you could do the work, Jimmy.
So here it is, the 25th anniversary of Steven Spielberg's award-winning movie, Schindler's List. It's going to be re-released.
Yeah.
And I think it's very interesting of the timing of this. First of all, I don't know, I'm sure you have heard that anti-Semitic incidents are on the rise both in Europe and in this country.
Right.
And by the way, I don't care if it's anti-Semitic or if it's racist or it's anti-gay. It isn't. It should not be part of our daily or even monthly conversation.
No, it should not.
It should not be. No. And yet here we go again.
Yep.
And it's interesting that and this is a great quote by Steven Spielberg, who I think universally respected. I mean,
so far,
hasn't done anything wrong.
Not
that we
know
of.
So far, yes. As of today, as of this recording, yes.
A great quote. And granted, he did bring up the Charlottesville riots in this, setting it up. And
this was in an interview with NBC.
Lester Holt, right. And a recent shooting, of course, in the synagogue in Pittsburgh. And the quote is, well, just that individual hate is a terrible thing, but when collective hate organizes and gets industrialized, then genocide follows.
Wow.
That is very powerful. It's a great quote, and unfortunately, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's true. It's sad. It's true.
Yeah.
And we know that there are nations out there that are dedicated to getting rid of Israel, the Jewish state, and yet they still survive day after day.
Ooh, now we're going down politics.
I know.
We're going Reverend Young.
Reverend Young's
dipping
coming out
his
again.
Toes into the politics.
It's just, I don't get how you can teach hate to a child. And by the way, the Palestinians do this.
Well,
this is part of their schooling. And I recently found out a friend has a daughter, Jewish daughter, in Palestine, teaching English to these kids. And I said to him, I said, so are they like pledging hatred to the Israelis every day like we pledge to allegiance to the United States? And he goes, well, it's part of their teachings.
Right.
And I'm like,
look, there's
mackerel,
it's the one thing that I can tell you, having been in that
century.
I've been in that region twice, once for NBC, the other time for CNN. It is something that obviously has its roots in biblical times. I don't know that there'll ever be an easy solution for it in our lifetime or ever, because it's so deeply rooted. It is not just black and white. It's not that easy. And I think, you know, people, there have been many attempts to forge a peaceful solution to that. And I pray that someday we'll see that, but not so far.
No, and we are in the 21st century at this point, at the beginning still of the 21st century. And I pray and hope after I am gone at the end of this century that we will have made some progress in embracing the differences amongst us rather than letting those differences separate us.
Although the fact that this movie, Schindler's List, is being re-released, and we're having this conversation about how it is an important time for this to be re-released, it shows that even after all these decades, we're almost back to square one.
Oh, I think we've gone backwards, Dan.
Maybe
and
beyond
we have
square. Yeah,
we have talked about
that. In fact, yes,
we have square regressed,
one,
which
yes,
is another reason
regressed.
Why it's good that they're re-releasing
it. And for those of you who might be too young, like I think our director, Steven, might not know about Schindler's List. Okay, he does not know. He's shaking his head. So just for those of you who don't know about it.
Go see it.
It's a movie about a German who saves some 1,200 lives of Jewish folks, refugees from the Nazis. And it's a powerful movie of how this German comes to the rescue. And it will leave you, I mean, at the time when I first saw it, I think what I was thinking is how in the world is all of this happening anyhow?
How did humans do this to other humans?
And now I don't think that. Now I know.
Right.
Which
is
sad.
That it happened.
That it, yeah. And so that's
we
kind
of. We can't let it happen again.
We cannot. Okay, Twitter. We've often talked about Twitter ups and downs and so forth, but I think this is kind of interesting that media buyers are saying that they like the ad platform on Twitter because it's simple and reliable. So this is, you know, you go and you want to do a promoted piece of content. It's not very complicated. You can just, you know, do a couple of clicks here and there, and your promo con. Why are you looking like that?
Because I don't use it. I don't want to use it. I just can't get it.
Well, but this is for advertising.
We're talking about
it's. They see it, even though they're not going to spend a lot more money. They just think that it's a much friendlier advertising platform for them than Facebook.
Okay,
right. So
I wouldn't know. I'm going to be perfect.
Like this. You're an anti-Twitter guy.
I am anti-Twitter. I just
don't like birds, and so their little logo thing.
No,
I
don't like the abuse of Twitter.
Oh, well, that's
do I need to go where that's coming from?
No, you don't.
Thank you very
much. One final little bite.
I like this bite. You take this.
No, you go ahead and take it.
Where
do you think, we'll ask the question again, where do you think that most people get their news from? When they're watching the news, when they're listening to the news, when they're reading the news.
And again, it depends on the age of the person.
No. Well, it does to a certain extent, but this is a broader survey.
This is a Pew Research Survey.
Right.
Center study. They're very respected in the research world.
Yes, they are.
And I think it's interesting that people are still saying they watch and get their news from television.
Television, yes. And the numbers are almost identical to what they were a couple of years ago.
Right.
So it's remaining pretty solid.
What is TV, Dan? What's TV? Honest to God. I mean, I'm not being serious.
It's a giant box with a screen. Actually, it's not a giant box anymore. It's just a screen.
Right. Now it's just a screen.
It's just a screen
it's
with
flat.
Little things to plug into other things.
My point is, if it's on video.
Yeah. Is that TV?
Is that TV?
Yeah. It was hard for me. I was trying to figure that out. But apparently, as you read through the report further down, it does say that it's television news. They specifically talk about the preference for watching news on television. And the reason for that is because it is it's a habit. It's familiar. It's what you know. It's easy. You just turn it on. You don't have to keep scrolling through things or doing anything. Mm-hmm. You just turn it on, especially like breaking news, for example. Mm-hmm. You have it on, and as you're cleaning the house, as you're at work or whatever, it's just on. So it's an ease of access, if you will. So to break down the numbers just a little bit, Jimmy, 47% of us say that we get our news from watching video, watching it on TV. 34% say that they read the news, and 19% listen to it. Although we're hoping our podcast will encourage more and more people to listen to it.
So it says most Americans who prefer to watch the news prefer to watch on television. It says 75% here.
No.
I just look right here. Look. I have it highlighted.
How do you say most Americans who prefer to watch the news prefer to watch it via television? Only 20% prefer to watch what? Via the internet. No, that's
news,
how you watch it.
Oh, how
that's
you watch
the, that's
it.
That's the watching of it.
So that goes to my point.
So,
why are you watching ABC, NBC,
No,
CBS
so
news?
they're getting their news from video, right? So we were saying, but the majority, then it breaks it down within that video thing, what percentage of it is for television, what percentage is for internet?
And I'll tell you, the real question and the real trend is, where do people get their entertainment from now? And it is via the internet, and all these new channels are out there. I'm finding more and more people are paying to opt out of commercial television,
right,
to watch their Netflix or their Amazon Primes or their...
Right, they are.
They're opting, and they're paying to get rid of the commercials so that the hour-long program can be 43 minutes.
Right,
and
right.
Then you can watch two or three of these in a row. Before you know it, it's 11 o'clock at night, and you're going to bed.
And did I tell you the other night I was at my daughter's track practice and had a couple hours to kill, and she was outside in severe conditions, and I was in the nice warm vehicle watching. And so I wanted to watch some news, and I watched the PBS NewsHour streaming on my phone.
Right.
That's the first time I've ever done that.
Wow.
And there were a number of other
programs.
I was
going to say, welcome to the 21st century,
Dan. Yeah, I know.
Dan.
I'm a little slow.
I mean, I may be unhip, okay, but that's...
You say I'm on hipper?
No, I watch a lot of streaming sporting events
on
my phone or on my screen.
I've done that, but I've never done a newscast.
Interesting.
I've never watched a newscast streaming like that. And so I feel like I'm, you know, maybe a little closer to Stephen's age now.
Yes. And do I rail against PBS at this point, or you want to save that for another day?
What, why are you going to rail against PBS?
I hate everything about public television and public
goodness.
Radio.
You do this all the time.
Yeah, I know. I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't think that my tax dollars – why should our hard work for years – and matter of fact, we're trying hard to drive ear, people following this and what have you, right? We're working hard on this, right?
There's value in public television. There's some
for the
rich content.
Less than 1% of the
rich
people
content
who watch
in public television and public radio
Let
that otherwise
it.
Would be out buried it. Somewhere in the woods.
Good. Bury it. Earn it. Earn it like everybody else has to earn it.
We're going
to
do a segment
on this.
And by the
way, have
you
seen the YouTubers, what they're calling entertainment?
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah, well, you know, again, they earned it, though.
Yeah, but it's garbage.
But they earned it. Garbage draws listeners and viewers.
Yes.
And by the way, yes. So does negativity and
But we're
and
staying
bitchiness.
Away from negativity.
We are trying
And to. We're trying to stay away from garbage.
Yes.
So that's where NPR
right.
and PBS
I'll let you get away with
are
it.
Wonderful.
I know that you like it. I don't. That's
I want to have a show on
let's
that sometime.
Do that.
The
let's
value
do that.
Of PBS and NPR.
You know, I told you what happened when a guy came to my house looking to raise money for PBS, right?
He ended up being the plumber?
Yeah, no, he what? Didn't. He was actually out there looking to raise money. Door
yeah,
to door.
I think you called the cops on him.
I did not call
you
the cops.
You berated
on
him.
I said, I'm sure you seem like a very nice man. But
then you dressed him down.
I said, you definitely
get
came.
Off my step.
You definitely
I'm
came
shoot
to
you.
The wrong house.
Yeah.
And let me explain to you why.
See, I don't do that. I welcome people into my house.
I said, I'm sure you seem like a nice man.
Actually, I don't do that. Why did I say that? I don't do that.
I was going to say, I like
people. You welcome people.
I like
so
people.
So you must really dislike PBS in order
I
to
really
not like people.
Dislike
okay, we're going to do a segment on that okay. At some point. So anyway, it was a fun show. We were a little out of control, but some weeks, especially around the holiday season, it's okay for us to let our hair down, even though we don't have much hair. Certainly I don't. Thanks for listening and enjoying this podcast. We know you did because we did. Like it, share it, keep listening on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. For our director, Steve Helmuth, I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
And now you know what's behind the media.